I have to just say what an awesome time it is in our men's study. I was so blessed last night to be able to spend time with men that are hungry to know Jesus, and the prayer time that we had was awesome. And you know, listening to the different prayers of the different brothers, the different needs and the different things that we go through, actually kind of inspired me to do this message this evening. So when I was a young whippersnapper, you guys remember that saying? I had a friend of mine. His name was Reyes Hernandez, and we lived just a couple houses down from each other. And I was actually blessed to have, gosh, I must have had at least a dozen friends on just my street alone. So it was really a blessing. But Reyes was, he was a few years older than I was, and I remember one day he came over and he said, "Well, Chuck, I got drafted, and I'll be going into the Marines." And at that time, it was a heightened time in the Vietnam War. The Vietnam War was probably at its most volatile and time frame, which was in the late 60s. And so I remember he came over, and the last words that he said to me was, "Chuck, take care, and I'll see you soon." And it wasn't but a few months that we got the word that Reyes had stepped on a landmine, and he didn't survive. And for me, it was a difficult time, because this was the first time that I ever lost a close friend, and it was hard. It was really hard to get through that period of time. But you know, I was thinking about that situation, and it brought me to realize that when you're in the heat of a battle, the enemy will do anything to bring you down in defeat. Now, this is especially true on the physical battlefield, but it's also the spiritual battle lines that Satan lurks in, seeking to destroy us so that we can't serve God and do His will. And as we've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we need to know that the enemy will stop at nothing to prevent you from knowing God and living for Jesus. Nothing. We need to understand that the serious tactics that he uses, he does this by creating a major conflict across the landscape of your life. Extreme as it may seem, Satan, he is convinced that if he can accomplish his wretched goals, and you become discouraged and fearful, you may want to just give up. A disarmed and discouraged believer who has fallen into the dust of defeat, suffocated by the guilt and the shame, is no threat to him. Beware. He doesn't hesitate to use extreme tactics of warfare, ones that are specifically designed to separate you from God and his blessings, as well as the love and the respect of friends and family. Here's the truth about landmines. It's really hard to imagine a piece of metal that is no larger than 2 feet by 2 feet having the ability to destroy such military might. But this is exactly what a landmine does. It annihilates whatever is nearby. And the slightest pressure, well, it can detonate it. By the time that a landmine is uncovered, it's usually too late to get out of the way. When I think about this, I'm reminded why this weapon of war is so effective. It's stealthy in appearance and sinister and deadly. Just as there are physical landmines placed along the pathways of roads and open fields, and Satan strategically places landmines in the path of us, every believer. And there is no such thing as a clear, straight path without landmines. Each day we face the threat of stepping on a spiritual landmine and suffering the sorrow and devastation that it brings. And here's the thing. When we step on one of the enemy's landmines, the explosion that follows usually has an adverse effect on our relationship with God and with others, as well as our personal testimony. It also alters the way we operate in life. We miss out on the joy and the experiencing of God's rich blessings. Brothers and sisters, we need to make a clear distinction between the landmines on a real battlefield and the ones that Satan plants in our own lives. They explode beneath us as the result of this fallen world. Others are landmines that the enemy strategically places with the express intent to inflict deep harm in us, the believers. If we are not sensitive to the Lord's warning, we can get off course and confront destruction. So, if you're taking notes, I've titled this message, Hidden Landmines. But let's pray before we dig into the Word. Lord Jesus, we want to understand the different tactics that Satan uses to try and bring us down. We are also reminded by your word that greater is he that lives in us than he that is in the world. But we know that Satan is relentless. If we're not equipped and we're not in your word on a continuous basis, we'll be susceptible. So, Lord, as we look at these nine landmines, different landmines, Lord, speak to us. Help us to understand the tactics of the enemy. Lord, we pray that you would be glorified this evening, that you would speak through me, that I would get out of the way. And we lift this up in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to look at nine different landmines that we face in our lives on a daily basis. The first one is the landmine of pride. Turn to Proverbs 11:2. I will be going through quite a few verses this evening. Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom. It was pride that changed an angel into a devil, who challenged the very throne of God. The pride of life is one of the commodities that the world system offers, and most people will pay anything to acquire it. Pride is the mother of all landmines we face on a daily basis. If we are going to be able to detect the dangerous landmines, we must be in God's word and obeying the instructions of not falling prey and stepping on it. We know that the flesh fights against the spirit, right? Pride is Satan's great sin. And it's the one chief landmine in his warfare against the child of God. It's simple, but so difficult. God wants us to be humble, and Satan wants us to be proud. Do you remember what Satan told Eve? He promised her that she would be like God. And she believed it. This verse also tells us that pride and disgrace go together. Disgrace is the after effect of the sin. And Satan, he enjoys reminding you of the guilt and how others might be looking at you. And here's the thing. When we depend on God, we gain wisdom, according to this verse. While the enemy wants us to depend on ourselves. Here's the second landmine. This is the landmine of jealousy and envy. Turn to Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, and here it is, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, division, and here it is, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I have warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. How tragic it is when Christians compete with one another and try to make one another look bad in the eyes of others. And envy is carrying grudges and a deep desire for what another has. These are two landmines that can come up out of nowhere. And before you know it, you've stepped right on it. We cannot be naive to the fact that Satan's desire is to work in the local church, to hinder its ministry. And to do this, he must work in those Christians who profess, or who profess to be Christians, who are part of the fellowship. If he can get to the local pastor, the leader, or maybe even the minister, ministry leader, then he will have a foothold and an opportunity to strategically plant his landmines within the church. The third landmine is the landmine of insecurity. Turn to Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. It's also the landmine of worry. In this verse, the Greek word translated anxious means to be pulled in different directions. Our hopes are pulled in one direction, and our fears pull us in the opposite direction. And we are pulled apart. The old English root from which we get the word worry means to strangle. If you have ever really worried, you know how it does strangle a person. In fact, worry has been known for definite physical consequences. Worry affects our thinking, our digestion, and even our coordination. So if you're going to maneuver through the various minefields of life, you're going to have to be very careful not to become a worrier. But there's a remedy for not stepping on this landmine. You see what it says in the verse? Pray. Paul tells us to pray about everything. Everything. We are prone to pray about the so-called big things in life, and we forget to pray about the so-called little things until they grow and become big things. Right? I'm guilty of that. And I know you guys are too. Here's the fourth landmine. This is the landmine of compromise. Turn to 1 Corinthians 10:12. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. A Christian that tiptoes through this landmine, well, they're playing a dangerous game. A dangerous game. People may think that, well, I'm a strong Christian, impervious to the devil's schemes and tactics. Or they may struggle with an old temptation. Try not to step on that mine and not sin again. But unless they understand how seemingly small choices can lead to bigger trouble, they'll always be a target for one of Satan's favorite landmines, and that's compromise. I've been in ministry a long time, and I've met many Christians who have fell by the wayside, but I have never met a single one who fell all at once. Never. In each of the cases, the individuals, they let their guard down. They neglected to pay attention to the landmines they face in everyday life. Life is filled with choices. And unless you're close to Jesus, you'll always be susceptible to stepping on one. There are many Christians that want it both ways. They want the excitement of the secular culture, but they want the benefits of the Christian faith. Jesus said, "You're either for me or against me." We can't have it both ways. But here's the good news. Although we face these landmines daily, verse 13 tells us, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will always provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." We can bank on that one right there. And here's the fifth landmine. This is a big one. This is the landmine of unforgiveness. Turn to Matthew 18:35. "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother in your heart." Wow. Someone has hurt you. And you cannot shake the feeling of sorrow which fills your heart. A desire to retaliate and get even, well, that can be explosive. In fact, some people feast on the emotions until the root of bitterness begins to grow within them. Jesus' warning is serious. Jesus warns us that God cannot forgive us if we do not humble and have repentant hearts. And here's the thing, if we reveal the true condition of our heart by the way we treat others, we reveal the true condition of our heart by the way we treat others. Think about that. When our hearts are humble and repentant, we will gladly forgive our brothers and sisters. But where there is a landmine of pride, which springs forth to desire for revenge, there cannot be a true repentance. And this means God cannot forgive. Many of us have been wronged. I think back to 2004. That was a year that my dad passed away with cancer. Now, my dad wasn't a wealthy man, but he lived comfortably. He owned a couple of houses, and he sold a couple of businesses, and I was the executor of his will. Well, my dad had remarried, and the woman had a daughter. When my dad was in the latter stages of his life, she manipulated, meaning his wife, to take me off of the will. All I got was three of my dad's shirts to remember him by. I had a choice. I had a choice. I could hold on to that anger and make myself miserable because it wasn't making her miserable. Or I could let it go and say, Lord, it wasn't my will. I mean, your will. I had that choice. I made the latter. I forgave them for what happened. It's not enough to receive God's forgiveness or even the forgiveness of others. We must experience that forgiveness in our own hearts so that it can humble us and make us gentle and forgiving towards others. Here's the sixth landmine. This is one that I think we face quite often in life. It's the landmine of disappointment. Turn to Psalms 55:20. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Oh, that's comforting. We know the story of David, how he was forced to leave his home, his family, in an effort to escape the sure death at the hands of his future father-in-law, Saul. See, Saul knew that David would become king, and he hated him. He despised him. And it ate him up with jealousy. And he wanted him dead. Each one of us can remember a time when we have lifted our voices to heaven and asked God, why? Why do I have to wait, Lord? Why? I'm ready for this relationship, this promotion, this new house, the next step. And we say to ourselves, I don't want to wait, Lord. No, I'm ready. I'm ready for it now. Thank God that He is not swayed by disappointments. His plans are not deferred by changes as a result of sudden trials and heartache. This is one of those landmines that aren't always prevalent, but they're out there. And we need to be aware of them in our lives. Anything that drives us to the Lord is good. Disappointments, heartache, it's all good. Had God forgotten his promises to David? No. Not at all. See, but David was not ready to assume the role of the king of Israel. The years he spent battling hardships and disappointments were a time of tremendous growth in his life. It was preparing him for the position that he would hold one day. Here's a big one. Number 7. The landmine of fear. Turn to 2 Timothy 1:7. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. The landmine of fear is a powerful weapon. Powerful. Like the other landmines I've mentioned, it has the ability to prevent us from experiencing the blessings of God. The landmine of fear takes this concept to an entirely deeper level. It can paralyze us to such a degree that we lose our godly perspective concerning our circumstances. It clouds our vision for the future and leaves us struggling with doubt. When our lives are shrouded in fear, we cannot imagine the goodness God has for us. Each one of us must come to a point where you know that God is who he says he is, and that the future and all the concerns you have been wrapped up are in his loving care. Then there can be no doubt, none whatsoever. When you know this, even the storms of life as they strike, you will not be driven off course. A fearful person wonders what difficulty or trying situation is waiting for him or her around the next turn. He or she is worrying about something that will go wrong, and it will be beyond their ability to handle it. They fail to realize that by buying into fear, they have stepped on one of the most destructive landmines there is, the landmine of fear. The Apostle Paul reminds us, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ, Romans 10:17. We must never forget that first step toward conquering fear is gaining truth and knowledge. When thoughts of fear occur, which they will, we must make a choice based on the truth we know. That's the word of God. If our minds have been programmed with the word of God, we will be able to discern the truth from fiction, a real threat from perceived danger. Here's number 8. This is the landmine of immorality. Turn to Proverbs 5, 7. And now, O sons, listen to me, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your ways far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the merciless, lest strangers take their fill of your strength, and your labor goes to the house of a foreigner. And at the end of your life, you groan. When your flesh and body are consumed, and you say, how I hated discipline, and my heart despised reproof. God has called us to live holy lives, but increasingly, people walk the beat of the culture of today. It's a culture set on criticizing God and His Word, calling His values out of date, out of touch, out of reality. Nothing could be further from the truth. And Satan knows it. Yet, he seeks to spread wickedness by telling people the same old lie that he snared Adam and Eve. It's a propositional lie that is misleading and dead wrong. It says, there is more joy in this life than what God wants you to experience. That's the lie. The truth is, sin destroys us. If not physically, certainly emotionally and spiritually. We may try to justify our actions in numerous ways, but we cannot change the principles in God's Word. Not at all. Now, the landmine of sexual sin always results in disastrous consequences. There are sins, and then there are devastating sins. Sexual sin is destructive in a massive way. It creates deep sorrow in the lives of all those involved. You cannot eliminate the consequences of sexual sin. Because when this landmine explodes, well, it has the potential to bring destruction in every area of a person's life. There are many Christians at the crossroads in their life where they think it would be more enjoyable to live the way they choose rather than to follow God's principles. There's many Christians that say that and feel that way. The last thing they want is someone telling them what they should or they should not do. Our families are under attack along with the traditional view of marriage. All of this can be traced to the deterioration of godly values in our homes, in our churches, in our schools. Today, people are more concerned about what society thinks instead of what God thinks. Last but not least, this is the landmine of slothfulness. Turn to Proverbs 6:10. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man. Slothfulness or laziness is inexcusable. Usually the person who struggles with this landmine also exhibits signs of a much, much deeper problem. Low self-esteem, pride, and a passive and aggressive attitude. And here's the thing, it's not just your job that is involved here. Maybe the person has experienced this outside of their job. Maybe they're being laxed about their spending habits or moral alertness. Or how about spending time with God? His word. Or church attendance. That's when consequences sneak up and attack like an armed man holding you at gunpoint. You flinch and resist, but there's no getting out of it. You're caught with no means of reversal. Poverty has dropped down on you unaware, and getting your life back is, well, it's going to take a lot more work than you ever wanted to put in the first place. Poverty in the scripture is not always talking about financial poverty. The bigger issue is always the spiritual element, the part that refers to the poverty of one's soul. Many times we launch out on our own and end up stepping on landmines because, well, quite frankly, we fail to consider God's might and power and love for us. We don't take time to think about his personal promises. Instead, we mentally rush past evidence of his faithfulness, dismiss his ability to heal, provide, and restore, and move forward without consulting with him about our future. When we make a conscious decision to bypass God and his principles, we make a horrendous mistake. Now, a believer's battlefield is marked with stations of victory as well. Not every day is a struggle. Is it? Not every day. Not every trial will seem insurmountable either. God has given us eternal victory. And we can say with what the Apostle Paul says, in the last days, difficult times will come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crowns of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. That's 2 Timothy 3:1 and chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, verses 4, 7 through 8. Even when we face extreme trials, Paul had an eternal perspective, didn't he? But there is no way a lost person can feel the same way because he or she has chosen to walk straight into the battlefield with no way of detecting the landmines hidden just below the surface of their life. It's tragic. And for us, well, Satan knows that if he can get to you into a place of spiritual ineffectiveness, you will no longer be in a position where God can use you. So the question is, will you trust him to order the steps in your life, to lead you along the path that is secure from the enemy attack, and to grant you the genuine peace that cannot be stripped away by anything this world throws at you? Are you willing? When you do, man, you will be amazed at the perfect peace you feel inside. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, Lord, as we looked at the various tactics that Satan uses against us. I pray, Lord, that we would truly take it to heart that it is a battlefield that we face day in and day out. Help us, Lord. Help us to trust in you and to be in your word so that we can maneuver through these landmines of life. Jesus, we love you, we honor and we glorify and we magnify you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.